The book of Revelation has reminded the churches to stay true and strong and loving. And then it presents a vision of angels and heavenly creatures and elders around the throne of the Lamb. Chapter 5, verse 8, describes the elders each holding bowls full of incense with the prayers of God's people. And then chapter 7 reveals a great multitude, people from every nation, tribe, people, and tongue, worshiping God together. And now we come to Revelation 8. Let's pray. O Lord our God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be pleasing in your sight, O God, our Redeemer. By the power of your Holy Spirit, we pray. Amen. Now listen to Revelation 8, verses 1 through 5. When he opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven for about half an hour. And then I saw the seven angels who stand before God, and seven trumpets were given to them. Another angel who had a golden censer came and stood at the altar. He was given much incense to offer with the prayers of all God's people on the golden altar in front of the throne. And the smoke of the incense, together with the prayers of God's people, went up before God from the angel's hand. And then the angel took the censer, filled it with fire from the altar, and hurled it on the earth. And there came peals of thunder, rumblings, flashes of lightning, and an earthquake. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
What an amazing passage. After all the noise and praise in chapter 7, this chapter begins with silence. All the host of heaven fall silent. And this great quiet seems to be a long moment of holy wonder and reverence and awe. Time to be still and know that I am God. When the seventh seal is opened, everyone needs a moment to pause, breathe, wonder, and wait. And then the seven angels are given seven trumpets, and we know that something's going to happen, for biblical trumpets are used to call people to assemble or lead a procession or go out to battle or sound a warning. And a trumpet will sound when Christ returns. These trumpets are used to call forth plagues and punishment on the earth. But first, another angel appears. This next angel has a golden censer, and he comes to the altar, the golden altar in front of the throne. So much gold. Gold always feels like glory to me. Much incense is given to the angel to fill the censer. Do you know what a censer is? Have you ever been to an Orthodox or Anglican church where they use incense? Often a priest will carry the censer and maybe wave it around so that the smoke rises and wafts around the room and fills the air with a heavy fragrance. This comes from the ancient practices set forth by God in the Old Testament. In the tabernacle, a censer made of copper was used to carry coals from the brazen altar outside the tabernacle to the altar of incense inside. And then later in the temple, Solomon used censers of gold. And the incense was part of the ritual sacrifices and accompanied the prayers of the people rising up to God. Psalm 141 says, "I call to you, Lord, come quickly to me. Hear me when I call you. May my prayer be set before you like incense, and may the lifting up of my hands be like the evening sacrifice." And now in heaven, the smoke of the incense and the prayers of God's people rise up before the Lord. And then with a powerful gesture, the angel fills the censer with fire from the altar and hurls it. It crashes to the earth with thunder and lightning and quaking. Throughout the book of Revelation, flashes of lightning and rumbles of thunder occur at the end of major sections. Back in the middle of chapter 4, after the messages to the churches. Here in chapter 8, after the seventh seal. Later in chapter 11, after the seventh trumpet sounds, and finally, after the seven bowls of God's wrath are poured out in chapter 16, God purifies the earth with fire. So is purification part of what's happening here? And might it be connected to the prayers of the people? That moment of silence, some readers believe that this pause in the midst of all these events, in the midst of that crowd in heaven, may be to allow time for the prayers of God's people to be heard. So let's reflect a bit on those prayers. What might be the content of the prayers of God's people? Maybe they're all the prayers that we pray each day in our bedrooms, at the dinner table, in the hospital, at the shore, in worship with God's people. And our prayers are often shaped by what Scripture says about prayer. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you, from 1 Thessalonians 5. 1 John 1 says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. Ephesians 6, pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayer and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. Philippians 4, do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And 1 John 5, this is the confidence we have in approaching God. If we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. Ask and it will be given to you, the Lord says. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. And of course, maybe this is where we should have started. When his disciples asked Jesus to teach them how to pray, Jesus offered a simple prayer that has been the guide for our prayers ever since. When the Lord taught us to pray, he began with God's holiness, which sounds like the worship in Revelation. Worthy is the Lamb to receive power and honor and glory and praise. And then Jesus taught us to ask for God's kingdom to come and God's will to be done. And Jesus ended that prayer with, thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory. So praying for God's kingdom seems really important. I'm not sure how often we're really intentional about that. And in between the prayers for God's kingdom, Jesus teaches us to pray for all our daily needs, to ask forgiveness, to pray for deliverance from evil, which sort of brings us back to praying for God's kingdom to come. And in this vision, the revelation, we are reading the story about how God's kingdom is coming. In Revelation 6, verse 10, we hear the prayers of the martyred saints who ask, how long, sovereign Lord, holy and true, until you judge the inhabitants of the earth and avenge our blood? As we pray for God's kingdom to come and they pray for God's judgment, maybe all these prayers lead to what happens next when that angel hurls the fiery censer toward earth. It's the beginning of the coming of God's kingdom, the purification of the earth, the purging of evil. It's possible that what we read in Revelation 8 through 11 about God's judgment is a response to these prayers of God's people, that God will purify and purge evil from the earth. For some, it stirs dread, and others are reassured that God will restore righteousness at last. While we are still on this side of heaven, we do not truly comprehend God's holiness or our obedience and how best to love God and our neighbor. And people wonder about the events in Revelation and they want to make predictions. It's possible even that the events of the end times are already happening in the fire and flood and famine and warfare we see around the world. But these mysteries are not meant for us to fully understand. We are meant to pray to pray for God's kingdom to come and to pray for the Holy Spirit to help us to follow Jesus as we wait. Help us to love and serve God. And it may encourage us to realize that in none of the judgments that accompany the sounding of the seven trumpets, in none of those is the earth completely destroyed, nor all people killed. It's limited to about a third each time. Many are spared. For our God is merciful and gracious, as well as righteous and just. God is making way for the kingdom of God to be fully established. And God will make everything new. And so we pray, may your kingdom